Hello again, it's Howard in London at the home of The Unexplained, www.theunexplained.tv. Thank you very much for keeping the faith with me as I look out of my window in London right now. The rain is absolutely spattered all over it. It has been raining here for hour upon hour upon hour, almost incessantly. It's just as I say these words, though, beginning to brighten a bit. I think the weather is changing here. We're sliding into autumn and then it'll be winter. 36 hours ago, we were talking about really warm temperatures. But everybody out in my local park had that look on their face as much as to say, we've got to get every hour, every minute of sunshine because it's all going away. Maybe they were right. Now, there's a reason for me appearing here now in this special edition. Number one, to say sorry for the slight interruption in my podcast schedule. I know there should have been one at the back end of last week. There will be one within 24 hours or so. It will be Lyle Blackburn, a cryptozoologist and musician, talking about various things. I think you'll like him. He's in Texas, by the way, including the Beast of Boggy Creek. So Lyle Blackburn coming soon in a main edition. This short edition, and it will be a short one, is just to bring you a couple of very short pieces from my radio show the other night, but I think they're important. Number one is Steve Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group, leading disclosure campaigner and friend of this show, talking about the US Navy's decision to come out and confirm that those UFO videos, the gun camera ones from military planes that made all the headlines around the world close on 2 years ago, were in fact genuine videos. Now, they're not saying they're definitely ETs or anything like that, but they are saying the videos are genuine. And for a whole mess of reasons, Steve Bassett believes that that is very important. And, you know, in my gut, I kind of feel that's the truth too. But we'll hear from Steve Bassett in a moment from the Paradigm Research Group. And after that, Jeremy Corbell, reporting very close to Area 51 on my show, talking about the event that began as Storm Area 51, and the way the newspapers reported it here and around the world, saying not very many people turned up. Well, not as many people as expected turned up, but Jeremy Corbell believes the event was, nevertheless, as we Brits say, it was very important indeed. We'll find out why he thinks that. The reason for my podcast schedule being slightly interrupted was that I spent 7 hours in a hospital locally recently, having some tests which are ongoing, and that kind of threw things out a bit. But I'm here, and I'm doing my shows, and thank you very much for your nice feedback and for the many things that you've said. The most recent show with the Hertax, lot of response to that, most of it good response, some of it saying you don't buy it, and certainly I accept your comments, whatever they are. They're always welcome, and they always help me. They're guiding light for me, really, in planning these shows. So if you want to make a comment, let me know what you think, or indeed make a donation for this show, please go to my website, www.theunexplained.tv, designed and created by Adam Cornwell from Creative Hotspot. Donations, of course, vital to allow this to keep running. Okay, let's get to the first item then on this short edition. From the other night on my show, Steve Bassett, talking about what the US Navy said. So, Steve, when I saw this apparently official confirmation about these videos earlier this week, I got a feeling that I get in department stores sometimes. I saw this and I thought of you. What does it mean?
Yes, there's a very elaborate process underway, very complicated. Most people don't know the details. And so they see something like that and they go, whoa, what's happened here is that when the To the Stars Academy came out, and announced and then went to the New York Times with their major stories, which included the gun camera footage from the Nimitz event, which was the 2004 Nimitz Carrier Group event, and then the 2015 Franklin Delano Roosevelt Carrier event, the Navy was caught with its pants down. What the Navy confirmed was that they didn't authorize the release of those films, but they don't. The DOD doesn't need their authorization. The DOD can release whatever it wants, and it chose to do so without their authorization. That's very significant. But most importantly, the Navy had a tough position because it was obvious that they'd been sitting on these events, in the case of the Nimitz event, for 13 years, said nothing, done nothing, probably tried to keep the people silent. It's a big PR black eye for them, and so they had to start reacting. And they've done well. First, they changed the protocols by which pilots can report sightings. right? That was kind of internal, but it got released. Then they actually formally came out and said they want their pilots to report this. That got a lot of good press for them. And now the piece de resistance. They basically said these videos are the real deal. Because
which I think, Steve, most of us knew anyway, but they're not saying these are genuine UFOs, whatever they may be, are they? They're just saying the videos are genuine.
They're saying they're confirming that this is gun camera footage from Navy high-tech planes of the event as described. They're not making a statement as to what is being seen. They're not going to want to do that. And they have also put some distance between them and the the Stars people by saying, "Look, we didn't authorize it." That's to keep nice with some people that would probably be very unhappy if they thought the Navy had authorized.
But tacitly, this statement is a confirmation of what we have seen here, and what these videos depict is weird, is beyond what we know.
Look, Howard, we're walking toward disclosure. I mean, we're in the final months. Very possibly.
The final months, you think?
Yeah. The developments are coming fast and quickly, fast and furious. But we have a political drama here that may slow things down a little bit. But this is just the beginning, Howard. Expect more.
And do you think we'll get more videos like this one, perhaps before the end of this year? Certainly when I speak with Leslie Kane, who was behind the original story in the newspaper, she hints that there may well be more. What do you think?
Elizondo said there's more and indicated they tend to release more. And they probably would have by now, but the political situation here, and I think you all know about tough political situations, became so messed up that they kind of slow walked it, I think. They're just kind of taking their time trying to see what's going to happen on the Hill and what's going to happen with the president and so forth. But they are taking meetings on the Hill. They've been meeting for over a year. So we're primed and ready for something big to happen on this issue, but I think it won't break in full until the situation with our president has been resolved.
But who would have thought, say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when you and I first started speaking, that we'd be here now?
Yeah. Hey, it only took 23 years since I entered the field to get the gun camera footage out, right? That's all. So clearly they're not rushing it. But this is not uncommon in political activism. You pound away for decades and decades, and then as you approach the prize, things speed up really, really fast. And before you know it, boom, you're...
Well, we'll have to check in with you again soon, I think, Steve. Thank you for doing this. One quick question. What do you make of what's been going on down at Area 51, this Storm Area 51 event, the festival, whatever you want to call it? Far fewer people than was being anticipated on social media have actually turned up. Has it achieved anything?
Thank God. Look, no harm, no foul. About 100 people actually went out to the gate, mostly wearing costumes and having some signs. I think they had fun. I think the guards probably enjoyed it very much. A couple thousand people turned up at Racial, Nevada, but Racial had canceled the events there, and that could have gotten out of hand, but it didn't. They should have sent them over to HICO, which had more things planned. But this is the kind of confusion you expect on this kind of toss-it-together salad. But there was no violence, no problems. I'm not aware there was an arrest. There was, however, and this was a pretty slick move on the part of Matty Roberts. He teamed up a couple of people, and they put on an event in Vegas, essentially come to Vegas instead of going out in the middle of the desert.
Matty Roberts is the young guy who came up with this idea in the first place.
Exactly. The young kid that came up with what was a joke, but then it caught fire. And I've heard 10,000 people showed up for that. So here's my take. Look. I'd oppose this. I said, look, take that down, Matty. Don't put that up. You don't know what you're getting into. And fine. He was warned a lot, but it worked out. And so the biggest take from this is non-trivial, and that is this. A young kid put up a kind of a cool meme about the ET issue connected to Area 51. And very quickly, up to 3 million people either signed to go or indicated they were interested. Now, most of that was they were in on the joke, but they were trying to, how would you say, it was easy to do. It's just a Facebook thing, right? You don't have to give your email. It was their way of saying, hey, we want the truth here. We want disclosure. So this is a nice test of the public sentiment. And in that sense, Maddie has made a nice contribution.
That's, I think, undeniably a fact. Very, very quickly, David Goldfein or Goldfein, chief of staff of the U.S. Air Force, according to reports that I'm seeing here, told reporters, coincident with the Area 51 thing, that the U.S. has, quotes, many secrets that it needs to protect from external threats. And a lot of people are reading an awful lot into what this man said. What do you say?
It's interesting you said it at all, because everybody knows America has all kinds of secrets related to potential threats. So the fact that he said it at all, probably being queried about this. Yeah, the Air Force and the other services obviously are feeling the pressure. They don't know what's going to happen next. And that was a simple way to kind of fend off a question, meaning, look, I can't talk about this. We're talking major secrets and national security and so forth. And that's part of the dynamic. The people want the truth. The military wants max secrecy in order to protect us. And we're going to find a balance between these two. And in the middle of that balance will be the disclosure, the confirmation event of the ET presence.
Steve Bassett, thank you for making time for me again.
My pleasure as always, Art.
Steve Bassett, and we'll be hearing longer from him on a forthcoming show, I'm sure. All right, Jeremy Corbell now reporting on the same show about Area 51. Now, he was actually phoning us from a place very close to Area 51. I think the last place where you could still get cell phone signal. Talking about the event that started out as Storm Area 51.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you very much for doing this, Jeremy. I know it's a busy time for you. Where exactly are you right now?
You know, Lincoln County is the area. I'm not at Area 51. I'm at one of the only places you can get cell service near Groom Lake Road, which is the infinite road that goes to Area 51 at the front gate.
Okay, how far would you have to go from where you are right now for it start not being safe for you?
Well, it's completely safe for me. It's about a 20-minute drive up an infinite dirt road. And actually, this weekend, I've been to the gate before. There's always this ominous feeling. There's this feeling where it was menacing. However, for the first time in history, every type of law enforcement and agency was there. They were there, and they were welcoming. We rolled up in a car, and the first thing is some military police came up to us, and they're like, you here to come to the gate? And we're like, yeah, they're like, go on up. Take a photo. So there was definitely still a line in the sand, but the PR, the idea of public relations, the idea of our relationship to our government secrets has transcended. This is a different moment. We walked right up, took photos and films and film crews and people. Everybody was in good spirits. Nobody tried to literally storm the base, although I've been out of cell range, so maybe a couple people did, but really it was a peaceful, bringing together of like-minded, curious people. It was beautiful.
Okay, now the media here, Jeremy, is reporting, yeah. Well, it depends which bit of the media you look at, but saying that I think 200 people max were the ones who turned out, and, you know, they were predicting hundreds of thousands. What sort of numbers did you see?
No. That's absolutely fake news. That's false, and the truth will come out because we have footage of it. You know, the military base was thinking 27 to 38,000 people would show up. And ultimately, I think it was reported through AP that it was about 3,000. I would agree with that. It's about 3,000 people that came out to the middle of the desert to celebrate our curiosity and to inspire UFO transparency. So we were spread out in multiple locations. However, at the Alien Research Center, owned by George Harris, we called it Base Camp. I'm not an organizer. I provided my films. I was not an organizer. However, I did curate speakers, and it was beautiful. We had Paul Oakenfold come and play, one of the most famous DJs on planet Earth, and he played to an intimate audience of about 90 people. It was like the first Burning Man.
Okay, so here's the deal. People who made that effort, those 3,000 people you say, have they learned anything about what may or may not go on at Area 51 by doing this?
Well, those of them that came to base, there's been a lot of fake news out there, okay? There was a two-day festival at Base Camp. It went both days. I curated speakers. The people that came to hear the speakers at Base Camp absolutely learned new information that they didn't know before. But let's go big picture here. This all started because of May 15th, 1989, and Bob Lazar telling you about Area 51 and flying saucers. I then made a movie 30 years later. I went on the Joe Rogan podcast, the powerful Joe Rogan podcast. From that moment, it got out to hundreds of millions of viewers. And then a Facebook page was put up. It became a meme. But memes have zero power without an undercurrent of frustration and curiosity. And that's what we saw. We saw people coming together. This is the beginning. Mark my words, Howard. This is the beginning of a change dynamic of our relationship as the American public and global public to secrecy pertaining to UFOs. Mark my words, it's a yearly international event, and you will see the real news coming out because we have footage. I'm making a film.
I can't wait to see it, Jeremy. How do you think, and from what you said at the very beginning of this, you seem to be quite impressed, but how do you think the security services around Area 51, who we've always been told, you know, we'll shoot first and ask questions later, how do you think that they handled this?
Oh, they were amazing. They were amazing. Look, we are not separate from our government. Our government here in America represents us. They're dealing with national security. So there are certain things that are kept secret. But the big question that humanity has been asking since the beginning of recorded human history is, are we alone in the universe? And that question in this climate can now be answered. We know that there are UFO identification programs active. Project Blue Book was not the end of interest by our government with UFOs. We also know UFOs are real. The Navy just announced that those videos are real. Those are gravity-propelled craft. So now we're living in a new age, a new era. We need to embrace it and ask the right question at the right time. We started something this weekend. We started something big. It's powerful. It doesn't matter if there were 4 people, 400 people, or 4,000 people. We started something, and you're going to see it grow. Mark my words.
I have to ask you this, and thank you for doing this, Jeremy. Was Bob Lazar himself there? He is the man who said that he worked at Area 51.
Bob Lazar did work at Site 4, which is south of Area 51 in the designation of Area 51. Watch my film, Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. You will see for yourself. Bob Lazar was not there. I didn't know if it was going to be safe for him. I didn't ask him to be there. We Skyped a few times so he could see what was going on, but publicly, no, he should not come this year. However, we all know now it is safe. It is sane, and you will see that it will be a multi-location international day in which UFO secrecy has a light shined on it, and we get transparency. And I bet you something. I bet you Bob Lazar, the man who started this all with George Knapp in 1989 when George Knapp brought him forward on the news, I bet you anything that he will come next year.
Wow. To be continued, as they say. So you are saying that this event that the media has been telling me for the last 48 hours or so was a bit of, we say here in the UK, a damp squib. You're telling me that 3,000 people were there and all objectives have been achieved.
All objectives and bigger have been achieved. There were absolutely 3,000 people that descended on the land near Area 51. They were spread out into different areas. Look, nobody knew if it was going to be safe from a military perspective or a personal perspective, but it was. We have established, very similar to the first famous Burning Man, we have established base camp. Base camp.
Okay, and so what do you think, and I can only ask you to speculate, but what do you think will happen next? I mean, you know, in terms of events, do you think there will be another event like this or something else?
I don't have to guess. It's already in the works. I have major A-list musicians planning, speakers. It's happening. Everybody, in 1 year from a couple days ago, check it. Be there. Be near Area 51. Go to base camp. It's already being set up now. We have a success, and it's going to grow into a cultural and social movement. It already is, and it's all because of Bob Lazar in 1989 on May 15th, coming forward with George Knapp on the news.
Watch this space, as they say. Jeremy Corbell, thank you so much for making time for us. Jeremy Corbell, as you heard, is very close to Area 51, where he says 3,000 people turned up. And the security services were pretty reasonable with them, and it was all good-natured, and it's one of a number of events that may well happen in future, and is the beginning, he believes, of this process that we call disclosure. Well, I hope you enjoyed and found thought-provoking those two items. I think, in my heart, that we are sliding towards some kind of disclosure. What form that will take, and what it might mean for all of us, of course, are interesting questions to pose, and I don't think any of us really has the answer to any of that right now, but I thought you'd want to hear those two items. The next podcast will be Lyle Blackburn, Cryptozoology, which I think you will enjoy. If you want to communicate with me, I'd love to hear from you. When you get in touch through my website, theunexplained.tv, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. So until next we meet, I'm Howard Hughes in rainy London town. This has been The Unexplained, a short edition online. Next main edition coming soon, don't forget. Please stay safe. Please stay calm. And whatever you do, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.